Today, I want to talk to you about hope. Hope is the spiritual reservoir that stops us from sliding into pessimism. Isn't that awesome? Now, also, when I get on a plane to fly somewhere, I hope I'm going to arrive. My hope is in the fact that in 1903, December the 17th, the Wright brothers discovered the secret of unlocking the power of flight. I'm actually sitting there drinking a cup of coffee and reading a book. Today, I want to talk to you about hope. Now, not the type of hope that we think, oh, I hope this goes well, touch wood, or crossing my fingers and hope like that. Not that type of hope. But good biblical hope. Now, you might think, well, is there a difference? And honestly, Christians haven't really done a very good job of representing hope. As a thing in the Christian faith, particularly in the 21st century and the end of the 20th century, when the faith movement and the hyper-faith movement came along, and they concentrated just on faith, just faith. Because the problem is, when you concentrate on just one of the themes of the Bible, you have to ignore the other themes that turn up in the 31,105 verses of the rest of the book. And that means you have to downplay some of those themes, and hope became one of the things that was downplayed, which is a shame, because when Paul writes his letter to a group of people in a book called the Ephesians, in Ephesians 1 and chapter 8, verse 18, chapter 1, verse 18, it says this: I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. Listen to that. Now, why? Why would he pray that? So that you would understand the confident hope that Jesus gives to those he calls. Now, confident hope that Jesus gives doesn't sound like cross my fingers and hope for the best. It's a confident hope. And that's what biblical hope is. It's not just the touch wood. It's not just the superstitious thing. It's not just wishful thinking. It's a confident hope that's based on something. Now, like I said, we really haven't done a very good job of representing hope, because again, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says this: always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. Now, the reason I say that we haven't done a very good job of that is because often a Christian's hope doesn't look any different than anybody else's hope. We hope in the same things. We hope in our RSPs and our tax-free saving accounts. We hope in our investments. We hope that things will work out when we retire. And we have exactly the same hopes and base those hopes on the same things as everybody else does. So very rarely does anybody ever come to us and say, hey, what's the reason that your hope looks different? So we haven't really represented good biblical hope very well. And in Hebrews, and I want to get this right, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, it says this: hold tightly to hope. Hold tightly to hope, because God is faithful and keeps his promises. So if my hope is based on the promises of God and I hold tightly to it, that confident hope that's talked about in Ephesians, then I don't just have a wishful thinking type of hope. Now, a man called John Piper, very clever man, he summed it up like this, and I want to quote him properly, so forgive me if I read this. He says this: hope is not only a desire that something good will happen in the future, it expects something good to happen. That expectation, right? That confident hope that Paul was talking about, that heart that is flooded with light, the light of the Holy Spirit comes into us and illuminates that hope within us. So it makes us have a different hope than other people who are around us. Hope is an incredible thing. It's not faith's poor sister. Biblical hope is a great, great thing. Now, you may not know, but a man called Edward Mote and his friend, who was a 21-year-old music writer, and his name, I want to give him the credit, William Bradbury. He was 21 years old when he wrote a tune called Solid Rock. Now, you might think, well, that sounds modern. It's not. It was back a couple of centuries ago. And he wrote this tune, Solid Rock. And then Edward Mote put some words to that tune. And the tune and the words are, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand." That's the Solid Rock tune that he wrote. But the song that we sing to that is this: "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." That's what my hope is founded on. And when William Bradbury and Edward Mote wrote that song, they based it on some good, solid scriptural truth that hope isn't just a sad thing. Hope is a good, good, biblical thing. And we need to grab hold of it. We need to grab hold of it with the confidence that comes from our heart being filled with the light of God. Now, somebody once said this, that hope is the spiritual reservoir that stops us from sliding into pessimism. What a great phrase. Isn't that awesome? Hope is the spiritual reservoir that stops us from sliding into pessimism. Now think about that, especially in the circumstances we're in at the moment. We hope for better times. We hope different things are coming. And we hope for this. And good biblical hope is the spiritual reservoir that stops us from descending into pessimism. Think about that in your own life. If I think about that in my life, like, how do I apply that? How do I look at that? How do I apply it? Now listen to this. Let me give you an example of how hope works, and how hope is a good, good, solid thing. And I have some friends, Dale Weens and Jeremy Weens and Neil Thompson and Adam Larson. And what they do, Adam Lawson, and what they do is every year they take out between them like $4 or $5 million loan. $4 or $5 million every year. And you know what they do with that $4 or $5 million? They buy seeds. And then they get those seeds and they bury them in the ground. Like $4 or $5 million. They're just burying it in the ground. Why do they do that? Well, because they're farmers. They describe themselves as stubble jumpers, right? So I'm not being unkind. That's how they describe themselves, stubble jumpers. So they bury it. Why? Because they're farmers, in the hope that the miracle of germination will happen. And it will produce an incredible crop for them. This incredible thing will happen. Why? And that, because God plans it that way. And their faith is in this germination process, and it's brought up over years and years and years of experience. They've done all that they can do with the soil. They put those seeds in the soil and they leave it there in the hope that they haven't buried $4 or $5 million in vain, that it will produce a crop. That's hope. Now, they're Christians, so it's good biblical hope, because they realize once they put it in the ground, it's actually out of their hands. They can't do anything about it. Now, also, when I get on a plane to fly somewhere, I hope I'm going to arrive. But that hope is based on something. It's based on the fact that somebody had incredible knowledge of physics and engineering and airflow. And they designed this aircraft, and they put two qualified people at the front of it. They had a pre-flight check. They had have a ground crew that services the aircraft. And I go on in my blissful ignorance, and I sit down, trusting in the laws of physics, and I sit down in my seat, and I don't strap myself in and go, well, here goes nothing. I have hope and confidence that I'm going to arrive where they tell me I'm going to arrive. In fact, I phone my wife before I get on the plane, and I say, hey, I'll be back. I'm on the red eye. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Pick me up at 8 a.m. Come and get me. Because my hope is in all these other things. And my hope is in the fact that in 1903, December the 17th, the Wright brothers discovered the secret of unlocking the power of flight. And so I sit there in this confident hope, even if there's a delay, even if there's bad weather and turbulence, even if there's technical difficulties, I'm not sitting there wringing my hands. I'm actually sitting there drinking a cup of coffee and reading a book. Why? Because I have a hope that is based on the confidence that this is a tried and true system. And if my hope is in God, who has a tried and true system of directing my life, then I have true biblical hope. My hope is based on nothing less and built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So in the middle of the storms, in the middle of the ark, in the middle of all that, the flood and the damage and the mass destruction, Noah has a hope. In the middle of the wilderness, when they were grumbling and they thought they were going to starve, they had a hope. Why? Because God gave them water from a rock, and he flew in a fresh quail for them to eat, and manna came up on the floor every single morning. They had their hope in a God who kept promises. I don't know what you're facing today, but God keeps his promises, and our hope is based on that. Hope was born in Judea, in Bethlehem, in the form of a baby. They called him Jesus because he carried the hope of salvation for his people. And that's me and you and everybody who accepts it. Hope has a name. Hope is Jesus. That's another name for hope for me. And in the middle of my lostness, in the middle of the wreckage of my life, in the middle of my guilt, in the middle of all the dumb stuff that I did wrong, that the Bible calls sin, hope comes along in the form of a baby born in Bethlehem. And that's why we light the hope candle. That's why we sing about hope. It's not touch wood. It's not crossing your fingers. It's not superstition. It's hope based on an experience that has changed my life. And I want to ask you a question. Do you have hope today? Because you can place your hope in Jesus today. You can do that. What a great time of year to do it. The snow's coming down in the Alpine. It's Christmas time. We're heading into that season. And even in these uncertain times, we can have hope. My hope is based on nothing less than Jesus' love and his righteousness. I wonder today, what is your hope based in? What is your hope built on? Is it just built on a vague hope that things will get better in 2021? Or do you have hope in Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem 2020 years ago? We get the date from his birthday. Whether people like it or not, we get the date from the time that hope entered the world in the form of Jesus. I wonder, does that hope live in your heart today? I want to read you something to finish. If I can get to it without the wind blowing my pages all over the place. Let me read you this. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Hey, is that any of us, do you think? We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and strength of character provides strength in our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. This hope will not lead to disappointment. Why? Because we know how much God loves us, because he has given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That Holy Spirit that comes into our hearts to fill our hearts with his love is the same light that Paul prayed about, that he prayed that it would flood our hearts so we would understand the confident hope that Jesus brings. Whatever we're going through, cling to tightly God who keeps his promises and gives us hope. Bless you. Stay safe.
Today, we light the candle of hope. We come together in the middle of a slightly strange Christmas season, but still we come to breathe in the life that God gives us, to listen to the beat of God's heart and the blessings and lessons this season brings to us. Each week of Advent, we light this Advent wreath. With its light comes our prayers and our stories. The candle of this first week of Advent is a candle of hope. Today, the flame of this candle reminds us of the hope that came to this world when Jesus was born, and the hope of his presence with us. Jesus said, "I came so that everyone would have life. Life in all its fullness." Let's take a moment to think about the hope that Jesus has given us this week. God's rescue comes into our lives and the life around us, in the big things or the small, sometimes obvious and sometimes unseen. This year looks different, they feel different, but we look forward with hope in Christ, to gathering together again. Even in the middle of disturbing news, there is hope because of Jesus' birth. Wir danken dir, Herr Jesus, dass du uns die Fülle und die Hoffnung in unser Leben bringst. Wir danken dir, dass wir uns nicht fürchten brauchen, weil wir dir vertrauen können. Und dass wir eines Tages mit dir in deinem himmlischen Reich wohnen werden. Wir vertrauen dir und deinem wunderbaren, kräftigen Namen. Amen.
Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. with healing in his wounds. While he lay his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to